Good morning, apartment. Good morning, doorway. Morning wall. Morning ceiling. Good morning, floor. Ready to start the day. Ah, here it is. Instructions to fit in, have everybody like you, and always be happy. Step one, breathe. Okay, got that one down. Step two, greet the day, smile, and say,
good morning, city!
Good morning, city! How you doing?
Step three, exercise. Jumping jacks, hit them. One, two, three. I am so pumped up! Step four, shower. And always be sure to keep the soap out of your ass! Shave your face.
Brush your teeth.
Comb your hair. Wear clothes. Almost forgot that one. No, not that wrong. And that's it, check. Step nine, eat a complete breakfast with all the special people in your life. Hey, Planty, what do you want to do this morning? Watch TV? Me too.
Hi, I'm President Business, president of the Octan Corporation and the world. Let's take extra care to follow the instructions or you'll be put to sleep. And don't forget Taco Tuesday's coming next week. That's the day every rule-following citizen gets a free taco and my love. Have a great day, everybody.
You have a great day too, President Business. Man, he's such a cool guy. I always want to hear more of what... Wait, did he say put to sleep?
Tonight on Where Are My Pants?
Honey, where are my pants?
What was I just thinking? I don't care. Step 11, greet your neighbors. Hey, Joe.
Hey, pal.
Oh, hey, Surfer Dave.
Hey, brah.
Oh, good morning, Sherry.
Hey, fella.
Oh, hey, Jasmine.
Meow.
Dexter.
Meow.
Angie.
Meow.
Loki.
Meow.
Bad Leroy.
Meow.
Fluffy.
Meow.
Fluffy Jr.
Meow.
Fluffy Sr.
Meow.
Jeff.
Meow.
Step 12, obey all traffic signs and regulations. Step 13, enjoy popular music.
Jump the charts again, it's Everything Is Awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this song.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool. We're part of the team. Everything is awesome. And we're living our dream.
Always use a turn signal. Park between the lines. Yes! Drop off dry cleaning before noon. Read the headlines. Don't forget to smile. Always root for the local sports team. Always return a compliment. Hey, you look nice.
So do you.
Drink overpriced coffee.
There you go. That's $37.
Awesome!
Everything is awesome.
Did you see Where Are My Pants last night?
Classic episode.
Everything is awesome.
Instructions coming in from Central. Okay, it says here to take everything weird and blow it up. All right, Dumbhead. Let's make it look exactly like it does in the instructions. Hey, buddy, I need a 1x2 keyhole.
No problem, Michael.
2x2 macaroni over here.
2x2 macaroni flying in. Here's one, Mel.
Cheers, folks. Cheers, folks. Come on, everybody.
Look at that, Roger.
We're alive. Coming at you.
Can I get a couple warps over here?
Thanks, Gail.
Hey, guys, watch me drill this down.
Yeah! Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome.
Have you heard the news? Everyone's talking. Life is good because everything's awesome.
Man, I feel so good right now. I can sing this song for hours.
Hilarious. Hey, good morning, you guys. Hey, I'm Adam Cooper. I'm the youth director here for middle school and high school, and that's a little taste of what I get to do every Sunday. I get to hang out with this general area of the population. Every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Thursday, during the school year and during the summer, we get to have a blast together. And this summer, we have been going through the Lego Movie. And we have been watching clip after clip, and some of our leaders and myself have all been showing these different clips in the movie, and the entire point is, the name of it is, Everything is Awesome, : Finding God in the Lego Movie. Discovering God within the Lego Movie, which is a blast. Super, super fun. Now, raise your hand. Just, I need to kind of test the waters here. Just see how clear I need to be about the plot of this movie. Who's seen this movie before? Let me get a show of hands here. Look at this. Well done, you guys. Well done. Give yourselves right here. Nice job. Nice job. A lot of kids probably that wanted their parents to see it. I get that. I totally get that. I've seen this movie like 1,600 times now. So, this morning, we are going to be making connections together. We're going to be making connections between that movie and our own lives, between that movie and the things that we see in Scripture. And we're just going to be talking about that this morning. It's going to be fun, right? Sounds good? Get some nods. It's going to be fun? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful. Before I do anything else, I want to talk about the plot of this movie. So we see Emmett, right? Emmett is the construction worker, the guy in the orange and blue plaid that... The orange and blue plaid that is on the construction site, right? Voiced by Chris Pratt, the dude from Parks and Rec, hilarious guy. And he, Emmett, is the most ordinary guy you'll ever meet. Emmett is all about the instructions. He has to utilize the instructions to wake up and get ready in the morning because that's his world. He knows the instructions, and that's what he bases everything on. He wakes up, he has to tell himself to breathe. That's how clued into the instructions that he is. We saw this guy, President Business, who was voiced by Will Ferrell. President Business, he's all about the instructions as well. In fact, you might think, you might realize that the whole point of this world, the whole reason that this world is so obsessed with the instructions is because President Business is so obsessed with the instructions himself. And President Business is enforcing this everything is awesome on the world, on this Lego universe. And the Lego people themselves may or may not realize that everything probably isn't as awesome as it seems at face value. Because we see this billboard fly up. I've got my eye on you. And they are basically being brainwashed into believing that everything is awesome when it's not. Sorry, guys, my thing's bouncing around like crazy this morning up here. Yeah, so they're being brainwashed, and the reality of the situation is everything is not awesome. But we find out soon in the movie that everything once was. We see that, we learn that there used to be multiple realms, and there still are. There used to be multiple realms of the Lego universe, places like Vikings Landing, and Pirate's Cove, and Coast Guard, and Harry Potter, and all these other Lego realms that could, and people, this is Bricksburg, by the way, the city that they are in, and Bricksburg and the people of all these other realms could come and go freely in all of these environments. They had the freedom to go where they wanted, to build what they wanted, and to be who they wanted to be. That is until President Business decided that he couldn't control, he couldn't handle the chaos anymore. And he decided, you know what? I think I need to put up some barriers here. I need to separate these realms, and we need to enforce the instructions because in President Business's mind, that's the way it should be. You follow the instructions, you create what the instructions are supposed to create, and then don't you dare take it apart because that's the purpose. Which, that whole situation reminds me of creation. It's the first connection. It reminds me of creation. We see in Scripture that everything once was awesome. We see when God says he saw what he had made and it is good, everything was once awesome, but we look around today and that may or may not be the case. It's probably not. It's not the case. Sometimes things are awesome, but a lot of times things are not. We had a rough week this week, actually. We look at, you know, some of the things that we've experienced just this past week of what's going on in Ferguson and Robin Williams. Just some heartbreaking stuff that we sit and think, man, like, everything is not awesome. Clearly, everything is not awesome. But you know what? I think, as we talk about this connection between the two, I think the point, you guys, of creation is not that everything was perfect and every piece was put where it should have been. The point, when God created the world, he did not follow a step-by-step instruction guide, make everything the way it was supposed to be, then put it on the shelf and say, there it is. That's what I made. In fact, instead, he created us for right relationship with him. When he says everything is good, the point is relationship. It's not that every piece and every nook and cranny of this creation was the way it was supposed to be. Instead, he said, you know what? Everything's perfect because you guys love me like I love you. That was what perfection looked like in the garden, right, Jane? Yeah. And then we fast forward into the next couple of books of scripture after Genesis, and we see the Torah. We see the book of the law. We see Exodus. We see Leviticus, right? Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We read all of these laws, these instructions that God gives to us. And the point of those instructions, you guys, are 613 commandments that God gives us in those books. And the point of them is not the instructions. The point of them is the relationship. The whole temple system, the entire point was to maintain right relationship with the Creator. That's the goal. So the goal of Torah, the goal of creation is right relationship. Let me take a drink of this water. Now I want to pause the movie really fast, okay? Put it on pause. We're going to return to it. But first I have three stories to tell. One from my own life and two from scripture, okay? Number one, when I became a Christian, it was at this camp. And this camp, the retreat was called Wake Up. And we were at this camp in like rural Missouri. And there was this place at the top of the hill where myself and my buddies, we were not supposed to go, right? I was in seventh grade, and we heard that we weren't supposed to go there. And so we did what seventh graders do, and we went there. And when we got there, we discovered that there were some cattle up on top of this hill. And one of the cattle was dead. There was a dead cow on the ground at the top of this hill. Now, I'm going to tell this story, and I want you to know my seventh grade mind was not concerned with animal rights, okay? Was not concerned. So hear that. Today, I may have acted differently, but in the moment, I decided it would be a good idea to throw rocks at the dead cow carcass, right? Me and my buddies were up there and good distance away. We get a little more confident. We grab some sticks and we go up and we start poking it. Start poking this dead cow carcass. Disgusting. One of my buddies, I don't remember who at this moment, I wish that I did, he decided that he was going to be a little bit more confident than the rest of us and stand up on top of the cow. He steps probably on a lung of some sort within the cow, and a pfft sound takes place. And the pfft sound takes place from the exact location that you would expect a pfft sound to take place. And it is accompanied with multiple flies. There are a couple flies that kind of pfft out along with the air. We laugh, right? We laugh hysterically. I'm a seventh grade dude. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And so he does it. He kind of gives it one of these. Pfft, a little bit more. More flies. Does another one. Pfft. More flies. And then he gets a little bit maybe too aggressive. He jumps in the air, lands on one foot on this cow, and his foot breaks the surface of the cow and falls inside. And more flies than I've ever seen in my entire life explode all over our entire group. We run away screaming down the hill. People are like, why are you screaming? We're like, well, we weren't supposed to be up there, so I can't tell you what happened. But what we realize, and the reason that I tell you this story, is because that's how I became a Christian. No, that's not the story. The reason that I tell you this story is there was a reality that was beneath the surface that we didn't realize was there in the moment. There was something going on behind the scenes that was different. It was a different reality than we had seen on the surface. We did not realize, we should have realized, there were telltale signs coming out of the cow that there was a different reality present underneath there, but we chose to ignore them, and we were forced into it when his foot broke through. There was a new reality. When we talk about new realities, a lot of times we use this Greek word where it's called metanoia. Metanoia. It's kind of the changing of our minds. It's changing into a new way of life. And, you know, following that event, I then realized that a dead cow probably has flies in it. It was a new reality for me, right? Right? This is maybe a stretch now, okay? Maybe the metaphor breaks down. But moving on, two scripture moments where I think a similar metanoia, a similar changing of the mind takes place. And the first one's in Genesis chapter 28, and it's with Jacob. And Jacob is sent out by his father Isaac. And as he's between two cities, the sun goes down. And so he does what everybody on the island of Lost would do when the sun goes down, is he makes camp. Because that's all you can do. You can't see anymore. So he makes camp, and this is what we read. It says, he came to a certain place, and he stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head, and he lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching the heavens, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Then Jacob woke from his sleep, and he said, and read this with me, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. A certain place. It's nowhere in particular, right? The only reason he stopped there was because he had to. It's just a certain place. And that could be anywhere. It could be our own Kansas City. It could be anywhere in the world. It could be Bricksburg in the Lego movie. It could be anywhere in the world. And at this certain place, Jacob realizes what he had not previously realized, and that was that surely God was in this place, and he did not realize it. Jacob has woken up. It's a new reality, which, by the way, that camp that I went to, wake up, we talked about this very thing, and this is the reason that I became a Christian. This changing of the mind. Suddenly, I was exposed to a new reality. Another situation, Moses in Exodus chapter 3. We see Moses, and he's walking along, and he looks to the right, and he sees the Hollywood sign. No, he sees a burning bush. Come on, that's a funny joke, you guys. Laugh. It's a Miley Cyrus reference. No one laughed at the 9 o'clock either. You know, he looks to the right and he sees the burning bush, right? We know the story, and the bush is there, and the bush is not being consumed. It's on fire. And as it's burning, Moses thinks, that's kind of strange. And he goes over and he takes a gander. He gets a little bit closer. And as he gets a little bit closer, this is what happens. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was too afraid to look at God. And I read this story, and it begs the question, did the place where the bush was burning become holy ground by Moses approaching it and taking off his sandals? Or perhaps was the place already holy ground and Moses just didn't realize it yet? Perhaps this is the same as the Jacob story, where Moses is exposed to a new reality, a new way of thinking, a new world around him where God is present in holy ground. And where Moses, for the first time, maybe realizes, okay, there's something bigger happening here that I was previously unaware of. Okay, let's go back to the movie, huh? You're all itching to get back to it, right? But before we get that, I want to read Psalm 19. Psalm 19, the first four verses, I'm just going to read it off my notes here, but it says this, the heavens are telling the glory of God. And the skies proclaim his handiwork. Day to day, they pour forth speech, and night to night, they declare knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In these situations that we read in Scripture, God speaks. But I also believe that in the creation around us, in the things that we witness every single day, that things are calling out to us, creation is calling out to us in ways that are using no words. And day after day, night after night, we are being called to wake up. We are being called to change our mind. Creation is calling out, and you know what it's calling out? It's whispering our name. I think creation is calling us out and saying, hey, you, the guy that I was once in an awesome right relationship with, why don't you come on back? Calling us back to this new reality. This other reality, this other way of life. Now, in the movie, there's these guys, and they're called Master Builders. And the Master Builders have this different perspective. They have a way of seeing the world that is different than the Emmets of the world, the ordinary people that are following the instructions. And these people can look at a bulldozer. They can look at a bulldozer, and they can see the individual pieces and the numbers, the call numbers for each one, and they can, in their minds, piece things together, deconstruct and reconstruct something new, and they are a part of this way of life that is different than the world around them. And they are on this mission, and the mission is to revert things back to the way that they were. They are opposed to President Business. President Business wants rigidity. He wants everything to be according to the instructions, and these guys are saying, no. The instructions are great, but that's not the point. The point is to live. The point is this mission. The point is to get back to the way that things were. Now, obviously, President Business doesn't like this. And he doesn't like it to the point that he decides, you know what, I'm going to unleash a secret weapon. And the secret weapon is crazy glue. He decides, you know what, I'm so tired of people messing with my stuff. These master builders who have then recruited Emmett to be a part of their team, they keep messing up my stuff to the point that I'm going to permanently seal it in the way that it is. And the master builders, they talk of this piece of resistance, this ominous relic that exists that can stop the crazy glue, and that is, in fact, the cap to the crazy glue. But to the Lego people, that's a big deal, right? Like, literally, it's a big deal. It's the size of them. Anyway. That was a dumb joke. You guys can laugh at me and not with me if you want to. So, there's this other reality that the master builders are a part of that the people that are following the instructions don't even see. And a battle ensues between President Business on one side and his army, I guess. And on the other side is this group of master builders who have recruited Emmett to be a part of the team. And in the heat of the battle, an interesting thing happens. Emmett falls off the Lego table. He falls off of Bricksburg itself and the other realms and lands on the floor in a basement where people are playing with the Legos. And these two creators are seen. These two humans are seen. And Emmett gets a taste of what's been happening below the surface the whole time. That there are these creators that are actually putting together the instructions. And one of which, you'll see, looks eerily similar to and believes in, and has the similar worldview of President Business. In fact, they might be the same guy. The other of which has a drastically different perspective. Let's take a look.
No!
The piece of resistance! I can still save them!
Let's get this gunk off this construction worker.
He's not just a construction worker, Dad. He's the hero.
Nope, he's not. He is a ordinary, regular, generic construction worker, and I need to put him back where he belongs. Now, where is my X-Acto knife?
I gotta get the piece of resistance. If I could get the attention of the smaller creature, I gotta move.
Where is that? All right. Yeah.
I think I saw the X-Acto over there near Middle Zealand.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Welcome. It's up to you now, Emmett.
sounds like a cat poster, but it's true.
I can see everything.
What the heck is this?
I am a master builder.
Love it. So what we see in that clip is we see two creators, right? We see the one that is obsessed with the instructions that is not our God. And we see the one that plays with us, that calls us by name, knows us by name, and that loves us to the point that he sends us with the peace of resistance into the world. And when we have seen this creator, when we have face to face, the more we know this creator, the more we can see the world like Emmett then does. We look into the world and suddenly we see things the way that God sees them. We're opened up to a new reality. Our mind has been changed. And suddenly we realize maybe God has been here the whole time. And I just haven't realized it. It took Emmett falling off the table to be able to enter into that understanding. And I wonder if creation is calling out to each of us each day. And I wonder if each of us is being called in our own special way, in our own way that is different from person to person. For me, as Mo mentioned, the call to worship, go Royals. I love the game of baseball, and I go into a ballpark, and I see God in so many different ways in the ballpark. I see it in the actual game itself. I see it when I step in, and I see this green lawn that is perfectly manicured, that has distinct lines that the grounds crew takes hours upon hours to take care of every single day. And I look at it and I think, that looks a lot like a garden. And I look at the stands and I think, man, this place reminds me a lot of a cathedral. And I think, man, what if, not even in this building, but in the world all around us, the other 160 however many hours of the week that we are not in church, I wonder if God is whispering our name constantly and we're missing it. I wonder if creation is whispering our name and saying, hey, why don't you come back into this right relationship with me? I wonder. For me, that happens at the ballpark, and I wonder what is that situation for you? Where do you experience God in a way that is unique to you? And not only that, how do you respond? In the clip, we see Emmett, when he sees and he understands, suddenly he's a part of God's mission, or the Creator's mission. Suddenly, he's a part of what the Creator's been trying to do, and he has no purpose at that point other than getting that piece of resistance onto that crazy glue. And I wonder, what is our response when God calls out to us? Do we just blitz right by? Do we miss it? Or are we tuned in enough, and are we clued in enough to respond? I think the thing that's so fascinating about Jesus, when we read about him in Scripture, is that he was fully clued in to what God was doing in the world. He, unlike the disciples, unlike the crowds that are following Jesus, unlike the Pharisees, he's the one that understands fully who the Creator is and what his activity is on this earth. And so when we see the disciples that bumble straight past the blind man Bartimaeus, who is calling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, and the disciples are saying, you need to shut up. Because you don't, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Jesus sees him and he gets it. He looks at Bartimaeus and he heals him. And then Bartimaeus has to respond. He responds and he says, and when he's asked, hey, who did this to you? Do you know what happened? And Bartimaeus goes, I don't really know exactly what happened, but I do know this. I once was blind, but now I can see. And he goes and he tells everybody about it. And so my question is to you guys, this morning. What is our response? How do we enter back into this relationship rightly? I saw Tim Keel tweeted this brilliant thing. He's preaching at a different church this morning. And he tweeted something about how God, in the person of Jesus, he enters into our suffering not because there's information that he needs to give us, but because he's a relational being. That Jesus enters into our stories with us in a relationship. And I think that's our call. I think when each of us sees or hears or feels this whisper of creation to us, that our response is like Jesus himself. That we enter into a relationship with other people, but ultimately we enter into this right relationship with God that we're called back to. Cool? Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the way that you're whispering each of our names in our own way, God. God, I pray that as we leave this place and enter your world, God, that we are tuned in to the ways that you're working. God, I pray as we leave here, God, that we respond to the ways that you're whispering our name in our conversations with other people, in the places that we go where we feel you, where we experience you. Jesus, I thank you that you are a creator that plays with us. And God, I pray that we remember that everything was once awesome and will be again, and that we are called to be those agents for you. Jesus, we love you. We pray all in your name. Amen. Hey, before we go into communion, reminder, kids are staying in their spaces this morning because it's the kickoff Sunday, so you can pick them up afterwards. Let's enter into communion by reading the liturgy together. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. Let us remember that we were once separated by race, class, and age. We knew one another only as strangers and foreigners. But because of Jesus Christ, the dividing walls have been brought down. For through the cross, he has brought us peace, both with God and with one another. The mystery of the gospel is that God has formed us into one family. We are members of the same body and partakers of the same promise. Let us profess together who God has called us to be. We are a community of people following Jesus and living in the rhythm of God's kingdom. Let us remember the words that the Lord Jesus said on the night he was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. Servers can come up. See the benediction. And may the God who created us and who calls our name through his creation, may he love you and bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and grant you his peace. Amen. Amen.